In Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, there is a great text that becomes a type of Jesus Christ. Hosea says these words, Ki na'ar Yisrael va'ohavehu u mimitzrayim karati livni. When I was a child, or when Israel was a child, then I loved him. Notice the ki is a conjunction that continues the thought as Hosea is speaking concerning God's love for Israel, how he cared for her, and yet how rebellious she became, speaking of the northern kingdom. And the whole book of Hosea is dealing with the northern kingdom and its revolt against the Lord. And so here, the text continues, when I was a child, na'ar is a noun that simply means child, masculine, singular. So when Israel was a child, and Yisrael is just the proper name for Israel, then I loved him. Va'ohevehu, va is the conjunction and notice it has a comets because it has the compensatory lengthening due to the fact that the aleph could not take a pathak and a doubling. Historically, remember the vav was vav, and so one of the vavs dropped out, the final one, since the aleph could not take a doubling, and we have compensatory lengthening from a pathak to a comets under the vav. So when Israel was a child, I loved him. Ohavehu is a pay aleph verb from ahav. It's the cow imperfect first person singular from the root ahav. And notice again, we have the O class vowel, which is characteristic of the imperfect in a pay aleph verb, and the aleph of the root has dropped out. And then we have the aleph of the first person singular appearing here, followed by hu. Tsere is the hinge vowel, and hu is the personal pronoun, third masculine singular, him. So when Israel was a child, I loved him. Ve, mimitzrayim, and from Egypt. Notice the u is your conjunction, followed by the mim of the mim preposition, and notice the nun has assimilated into the min of Mitzrayim. So min Mitzrayim becoming mim Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim simply means Egypt. So, and out of Egypt I have called my son. Karati is the cow perfect, first person singular, from kara, to call. Notice the suffix t is indicating the first person singular, followed then by livni. The lamed is the inseparable preposition, meaning to or for normally, but here it occurs with the verb kara, kara le, meaning I called. And then bani is from the noun bain, son. And bani then is in the bait in the noon is in construct with the hirik yod, meaning my son. So from Egypt, I called my son. Now this is speaking of how the Lord delivered Israel out of Egypt and how as a father he cared for Israel and called her out of Egypt, and when she was a child, and how he loved her. And yet, in spite of that, they went after the Baalim, the Baal, in verse 2. This text, then, becomes a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is, Israel, being called out of Egypt. And Jesus, then, becomes the final Israel, except the obedient and ultimate Israel, who obeys the Father and goes into Egypt and is called out of Egypt, just like Israel. And so Matthew uses Hosea 11:1 in this sense, when we're told in verse 14, speaking as to what Joseph was told to do, now he arose, or what he did, now he arose and took the child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that which was spoken by the Lord might be fulfilled, by the Lord through the prophets, might be fulfilled, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. And so Matthew wants us to see Jesus as the final Israel, who is called out of Egypt, and as a result becomes the perfect ideal Israel, who is going to obey the Father and carry out the Father's perfect will. In Joel chapter 2, or chapter 3 in the Hebrew, verses 1 and 2, we see a great prophecy concerning the pouring out of the Holy Spirit by the Lord. And again, Joel is a prophet that speaks of a locust invasion in the first two chapters, picturing God's judgment, followed then by the promise of an outpouring of the Spirit that he would bring upon his people. And this is fulfilled in its ultimate sense, as we will see in Acts chapter 2, when Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit. It begins, verse 1, V'haya acharechein eshpok et ruchi al kol basar, V'nivuhu benechem uvenotechem ziknechem chalomot yachalomun, Bachurechem chezyonot yeru. And notice, and it shall come to pass after these things, or afterwards. Notice, ve is the conjunction followed by the cal perfect, third masculine singular, from haya. And ve is turning the verb over and making it future. It is a vav consecutive or a vav conversive. And it shall be, or come to pass, achrechen is the conjunction here, meaning afterwards. And so it shall come to pass after this, or after thus. It is functioning here, this phrase, in an adverbial kind of a way. Actually, it shall come to pass after words that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Notice eshbok is the cal imperfect first person singular from shafak, to pour out. Et is the sign of the direct object. Ruchi is from ruach, meaning spirit, followed by the first person pronominal suffix in e. Al kol basar, upon all flesh. Al is your preposition, followed by kol, which is functioning here as an adjective meaning all. And then basar is the noun, masculine singular, meaning flesh. This is then followed by the next phrase, v'nibbuhu benechem uvenotechem. Notice, v'nibbuhu, is the cal imperfect first common plural from nava, to prophesy. And notice the vav here, and they shall prophesy, that is your sons and your daughters. This is a vav conjunctive, not a conversive here, with the perfect followed by, notice the nun. Actually, this verb is a cal imperfect. Actually, I'll get it right here in a minute. This is a cal perfect third common plural from nava, to prophesy, and the vav with the shava is again a vav conversive or a vav consecutive, and so this perfect becomes future, and they shall prophesy. Notice again, like vehaya, that the vav with a shava, with a perfect, is a vav consecutive. If it has a pothok with the vav and a doubling of the next radical, it's a vav conversive with the imperfect. And so here we're looking at this cal perfect third masculine or third common plural that is turned over by the vav and made futuristic. And so, and they shall prophesy, and then we have the subject of the verb, benehim. Notice, bene is from bin. It is a masculine plural noun in construct with him. And so, your sons. And the u here is just your conjunction. Venot, notice benot is with the ot ending, is showing a feminine plural, meaning your meaning daughters, and notice that Seriyod puts it in construct with the chem. So chem again is your second masculine plural pronominal suffix. So your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Furthermore, he goes on, your old men shall dream dreams. Ziknechem Chalomot yechalomun. Notice, zaken is the noun that means old, and when it is a noun that's plural in construct, again, it becomes zikne, and so the old ones of you, or your old men, and notice chem is simply your suffix, pronominal suffix, second masculine plural. So your old men, understood, shall dream dreams. Chalomot is from chalom, meaning dream. And notice the ot ending again makes it a feminine plural, and followed by the verb ya chalomun. Chalam is the verb to dream, and this again is a cal imperfect third common plural from chalam, to dream a dream. And notice the nun here is closing up the last syllable, which happens sometimes. It could have just been yachalomu, but here we're seeing the nun added. And notice the pathak under the yod is here because of the chatef pathak under the chet that necessitated the pathak part of that shifting under the yod. So your old men shall dream dreams. Bachurechem chezyonot yeru. Your young men shall see visions. Note Bahur means young. And again, we have the Tseriyod showing a masculine plural noun in construct with chem again, your pronominal suffix, second masculine plural. So your young men, chazon is the noun meaning vision, and chaz yonot, note, we have the ot ending showing that it is a feminine plural ending meaning visions. So your young men shall see visions. Yeru is the cow imperfect third masculine third common plural from the word ra'a, or the verb ra'a. Notice the final hey has dropped out here. So your young men shall see visions. The gum al ha avadim, the al ha shefachot, and indeed upon your male servants and your handmaidens. Notice the ve is just the conjunction followed by the adverb gum, or indeed, and al is your preposition followed by the plural noun evad, and here it's appearing with the definite article ha avadim. Notice the im ending showing that we're looking at a plural masculine noun. So upon your servants, va'al, that is just the conjunction followed by the preposition al again, and upon the handmaidens, ha shefachot. Notice again, shefach is handmaiden, and the ot is showing that it's a feminine plural with the definite article. So upon the handmaidens, in those days, ba yamim ha-hema, notice the ba is the preposition in, followed by the definite article under it, and yom is the noun for day, but in the plural it becomes yamim. So in the days, and then ha-hema, hema means those, followed by or preceded by the definite article ha. So in the days, namely those, or in those days, eshpok, I will pour out my spirit. Notice eshpok is from the root shafak, to pour out. It is the cow imperfect first person singular from shafak, followed by et, the sign of the direct object, and ruhi from ruach, meaning spirit, followed by the pronominal suffix, first common singular in the e. The Lord is promising to pour out his spirit on all classes of people, upon servants, upon handmaidens, in a future day, as Joel was predicting, upon men, old and young, upon young, upon sons and daughters. What I see here is there is an equality of receiving the pouring out of the Spirit, sons, daughters, hence there is no sexism, old and young, hence no ageism, and servants and handmaidens, hence no classism. And as we look at the book of Acts, we see that very thing happening where the Spirit in Luke and Acts works with all people, all peoples. We see the beginning of the Spirit's work in Luke, where we have Zechariah and Elizabeth, who are older, and then we have Mary, who is younger, and Anna, who is female, and Simeon, who is male, all prophesying, looking forward then and anticipating the outpouring of the Spirit, in which, in the upper room, men and women both were gathered together, and in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit was poured out, they all began to prophesy. And so the great fulfillment of this is in Acts chapter 2, when Jesus ascends to the Father's right hand and receives the Spirit and pours it out. It is significant that he had prophesied that repeatedly. John the Baptist first mentioned it in the Gospels when he said, "I baptize in water, but one who is coming after me will baptize in the Holy Spirit and with fire," in Matthew chapter 3. And then Jesus reiterated the pouring out of the Spirit that he would do in the four texts in the Upper Room Discourse, when he promises that he would send the Spirit, and repeatedly shares that with the apostles in the Upper Room. And then, after those great texts of announcing the advent of the Holy Spirit, he then, in Acts chapter 1, promises to pour out the Spirit in a few days, which happens at Pentecost. For example, going back for just a moment into the book of John, chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says these words, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he might be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, which the world is not able to receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he abides with you and shall be in you." And so this is promised in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And then the Lord Jesus repeats it again in verse 25, or verse 26. "Now the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, that one will teach you all things." And so again, we have the Holy Spirit being poured out by the Lord that will come, that will become the final teacher and teach the disciples and the church all things that they are to know and they are to learn. And again, Jesus repeats it in verse 26 of chapter 15 of John, "When the Comforter, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which comes out from the Father, that one shall testify concerning me. And you also will testify, because from the beginning you were with me." And then for a fourth time in John 16, Jesus repeats it again, verse 7, "But I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you, and when that one is come, he will reprove the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. Concerning sin, because you do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." And so Jesus then goes on to say, "I have many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them," in verse 12. At this point, "but when that one is come, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak from himself, but whatsoever he hears, he will speak, and he will show you things to come. That one shall glorify me, because he shall receive of mine and shall declare it to you." And notice, having given these four what we call paraclete texts in anticipation of the Holy Spirit, Jesus then, as we had said in Acts chapter 1, says that they are to wait in Jerusalem after his resurrection with the promise, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And so, in Acts chapter 2, it was that the Spirit is poured out. And we see this very text of Joel being fulfilled. They're all speaking in different languages, and men and women, the 120, were in the upper room, and some feel that they are drunk, but Peter says, no, this is not that. It's what Joel spoke of. And so in verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and then he quotes verses 17 to 20, the whole text of Joel chapter 3 in the Hebrew. It shall come to pass in these last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Also upon my handmaiden, upon my male servants and female servants, I will pour out from my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And then he goes on to talk about the signs that would occur in heaven and how the sun and the moon would be eclipsed, and whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. So then Peter proceeds to explain how that Jesus is resurrected. Unlike David, whose tomb is with us, Peter says, Jesus rose from the dead and is now at the Father's right hand. And he says in verse 33, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, he has poured out this which you see and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit here at my right side until I make your enemies the footstool of your feet. This is a quote from Psalm 110, verse 1. And then there is the conclusion in Peter's sermon. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. So it's wonderful to know that as the Father pours out the Spirit, so Jesus pours out the Spirit. Here we see the deity of Jesus Christ having full divinity with the Father, because both are pouring out the Spirit. They're sharing in that work together. Also, we see in this great text and its fulfillment in Acts 2 that women and men both were prophesying at Pentecost, and this is in fulfillment of the text in Joel. And again, Paul allowed women to prophesy in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so as a result of Joel chapter 2, we can say again, male and female prophesy, old and young, and servant and free. What a beautiful text that anticipates the very words of Paul as well in Galatians chapter 3. In Jesus, there's no in Christ, there's no male or female, bond or free. And we can say old or young, that all who receive Jesus have entered into the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and are to carry on effective prophetic ministry for Jesus Christ. And we also again see the great divinity of Jesus Christ, co-equal with God the Father, in that both participate in the pouring out of the Holy Spirit.